Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A big old juicy fat Commanders home win as they blow out the Raiders by 17 at Northwest Stadium. Jay Gruden is on the show at 5. We will have some special guests who helped contribute to the win, we believe, along the way as well today on Grant and Danny. Two home games, two wins in Landover by 15 and 17, sandwiching the debacle in Green Bay. But it is a 2-1 record.
Yep.
The Commanders are pretty much right where they should be. Through 3 weeks, they are dealing with a bunch of injuries, Danny, but they are persevering despite those injuries.
They are indeed. Sometimes it's got to be a Jeremy McNichols play. Sometimes it's got to be a Chris Moore third down conversion. That's football, dude. That's the life in this league. Everything you wrote down on paper of we're going to have this, we're going to have that, we're going to have this, we're going to have that. The league scoffs at that. They tear that paper up. The next man has to be able to step in and do something with your stars, with your leaders, with your guys that are that you're going to count on down in and down out. But listen, you've played two bad teams, and you've done what you're supposed to do to both of them. That's a good sign, honestly, at this stage, with everything that's going on.
Yeah, and both of those teams, while we can say that they're bad, they're a combined 1-5 on the season. So, sure, they're bad. Before they played the Giants, everyone was telling us how good the Giants were going to be and how surprising they might be in the NFC. And they've been in every single one of their games, by the way. They went to overtime last week. They gave the Chiefs all they could handle till the fourth quarter last night. They're not terrible. This is not the Titans or some team that's going to pick first or second in the draft. They're competitive. The Raiders, similarly, beat the Patriots in week one and looked okay doing it. They played a primetime game a week ago and in a cross-country travel short week looked terrible. No doubt, but I think that's probably more like a 7-8 win team than a 4-5 win team. But they've got some major flaws, and Washington exposed them. Their offensive line is not good. Their tackles are not good. And defensively, as we talked about all day in our preview on Friday, they give up a lot of opportunities in the passing game. They had actually been exceptional against the run. That was the strength of this defense and maybe the strength of this team to this point in the season. And you wouldn't have known it watching the game yesterday. Because they got gashed by the Commanders for 201 net rushing yards. Marcus Mariota ran for 40. You mentioned the 60-yard touchdown by McNichols where he was almost tackled three or four times. He went for 78 yards. Chris Rodriguez goes from inactive to the first guy on the field to get all the carries for their first two drives, including a five-play touchdown drive to open the game where all they did was run. He has 39 yards. Kroski Merritt had a touchdown and 26 yards. And then Deebo Samuel got three carries for 18 yards. So they ran for over 200 as a team, just shoved the ball down the Raiders' gullet yesterday. And I thought the plan from Cliff Kingsbury was incredible. You don't have John Bates as your top blocking tight end. Ben Sinnott did some really good things. Colson Yankoff helped them. But they basically said, Trent Scott, we're going heavy. We're going extra tackle. We're going heavy personnel. And they presented some problems by doing that. We saw a gadget play early in the game on a direct snap to Deebo with Zach Ertz next to him in Wildcat. We saw a read option go for 23 yards. Now, Mariota fumbled, his only mistake of the day. He was splendid. But Cliff was in his bag early on as a run designer. And I thought it opened everything up. The perfectly timed shot to McLaurin in the second half, based on all the stuff that they had shown and run in the running game in the first half, leads to the 56-yard catch that should have been a 57-yard touchdown.
Thought it was a touchdown, yeah. Same thing later in the game when the whole world thought they were running and Luke McCaffrey's just jogging free and clear for a touchdown. The timing of it. I mean, play calling is as much a science as it is as an art form.
Yeah.
And that was art yesterday, I felt like, where everything is related to something. It's setting you up. It's challenging every blade of grass, making sure you got to cover and be accountable. You know, Deebo Samuel early, and by the way, tone of the game gets started. He damn near takes it to the house on a kickoff. It's something that scares the hell out of me. I don't know that I'd have the huevos to put him back there every time, but you see why they do. That's an offensive play as far as they're concerned, and that sets up their opening touchdown drive. What a difference he made early on. Just getting him the football. Even if he only had like a handful of touches in the game, but it felt like more because his presence. You could see the Raiders are going, okay, where's number one? We've got to make sure he's accounted for as he's going in motion. There's a fake to him in the backfield, or there's a couple that do go to him and they have to swarm. He demands accountability, and you could see the impact.
Basically put on ice for the whole fourth quarter, too.
Yeah.
So the reason it felt like he was more involved than he was is because for three quarters, he actually was. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the first half of the game, their offense went through him. He had a bad drop. In fact, all three of Mariota's incompletions in the first half, he was so damn accurate and pinpoint with his control and command. Between the numbers, the middle of the field in this offense shined in this game from a throwing standpoint because Mariota was just on it, man. The three incompletions in the first half, a drop by Deebo.
I mean, right in the chest, should have been picked off.
That should have been a first down. A drop by Jalen Lane on a throw into the end zone. Now, it wasn't an easy play. He's got a defender right there. It's a back shoulder ball, but it hits him. He should catch it. And then a throwaway that he basically spikes at the feet of Zach Ertz when he's about to get sacked. He didn't have one actual throw to a receiver that was not completely accurate and exactly where he wanted it to be in the first half of the game. And then only had three incompletions the rest of the way. So it was 15 of 21 with what turned out to be four drops because Terry dropped a pass.
McLaurin had one now.
He should have caught. So it would have been 19 of 21 passing for around 250 yards and two touchdowns in terms of like the ball out of Mariota's hand and what should have happened. And on top of that, the 23-yard read option looked like he was at Oregon. The 40 rushing yards on six carries. He was incredible again. This is now three times that this guy has played under Cliff in this offense. Last year, when he comes in after a drive against Carolina and he hangs 40 on the Panthers. Then week 18, game 17 against the Cowboys, where at halftime, worst offensive performance over a half.
Yeah.
All last season, Jaden gets sat, not because of how they're playing, but because they're getting ready for the playoffs and they need their MVP at quarterback to be ready for the postseason. And Mariota comes in and lights it up. 15 of 18 down the stretch, runs all over the place. They come back to beat the Cowboys. And then this game yesterday. It's why I wasn't doing the hysteria thing all last week that everybody wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Now, if you tell me that Jaden Daniels is going to miss 6 to 8 games, now your season is derailed. You know, now that's a big problem because over many weeks, the flaws get exposed or what have you. But for a game here, two games there, couple games, Marcus Mariota is very, very capable in a quarterback-friendly offense. When you're a dual threat, Kingsbury does not get enough credit for what happens around these parts. He had a hell of a successful season last year. Could have been a head coach if he wanted to this offseason. He basically said, I'm good thanks to the New Orleans Saints who wanted him. He'll get a job this offseason, but this should be the tape he sends out there.
Agreed.
But this was a Mona Lisa for him. And with Mariota and no Bates and no Noah Brown, they didn't miss Jaden Daniels in this game. Over the course of a season, would they? Obviously. You know, you go from maybe 11 wins to 7 or 8 wins or whatever. But yesterday, there was not a single second at any point where you missed Jaden Daniels. That's how good Marcus Mariota was.
Agreed. And the scheme and design of it, I think, is to your point. If you have this skill set, even if it's not all the faders turned up to maximum, like Jaden Daniels can do with some of the downfield stuff, you do enough of these. All right, you covered this, so I reach around and punch you that way. You covered this, so now I uppercut here. It's the constant probing and bothering of the defense where they have to account every single, you know, for every single option. It's all short. It's all quick. It's all, you know, it's that Zach Ertz 7-yard catch. Oh, that's annoying. It's this run off of this different look. It's this keeper. You have to respect every fake because the quarterback might keep it. Or this guy, you know, coming across the formation might keep it. It's a pain in the butt to play against him, and you get tired of it, so everybody starts creeping up. That's when the shot happens. That's when the Terry McLaurin happens. And it's not as if Mariota's dropping dimes like you know, Peyton Manning in his prime or some splendid world-class passer, but when someone's wide open with 7, 8, 9, 10 yards of separation, He'll make that throw. That's just fine. To McCaffrey, to McLaurin. That's not what they majored in. They majored in everything else, and they were able to take a couple of those easy shots just because the Raiders got so sick of having to cover their gut for all those punches that they constantly were throwing at them. Stayed ahead of the sticks for the most part, even with some of the penalties. That was an in-control. Our offense and our guys are better than your guys. Just give it time.
So if you go back to the Thursday night game against Green Bay, the first thing that we talked about after that game was how badly they got outcoached and how they weren't prepared and the plan wasn't very good, it didn't seem like. And the Packers' plan was way better. This game was the inverse of that. This was the antithesis. They dominated the Raiders from a coaching standpoint. All apologies and respect to Pete Carroll and company. I mean, Kingsbury took Patrick Graham's lunch. And on the other side of the ball, Chip Kelly got worked by Joe Witt. They just had a better plan. Now, I'm going to give the Raiders an out because you had 5 days to prepare, basically. You played on Monday night and then flew across America, whereas the Commanders didn't play since Thursday. So you should have a better plan. You should outcoach them. You should be more rested, more prepared. And all of those things were true. There's no doubt about that. But the Packers had a bunch of extra days. They were playing the Cleveland Browns, who played last weekend. They lost that football game. They took them lightly, probably. But you don't just get to roll the football out and do it, is my point.
Yeah.
And so you give credit to the coaching staff, to Dan Quinn, who took the big bump on the sideline, did his press conference with the dried blood.
How about that?
The goatee yesterday. But I thought it was a good day for the coaching staff in general. And then you're right. The players just better than the Raiders players. The guys that you worried about really having a chance to take the game over. Max Crosby was mostly not noticed. He did have a sack and 7 tackles, so it was like a fine statistical game.
Yeah, he is incredible, by the way.
He's a great player. Yeah. But you just don't let him beat you, and right. He didn't yesterday. Genty's going to be a star. I really believe that. Like, he's impossible to tackle by yourself in the open space. He's powerful. He's got unbelievable balance. He's just an incredible talent. But the amount of 0-yard and 1-yard runs that he had early in the game, where he was hit at the line of scrimmage or behind it, I think it was probably 7 or 8 times.
Well, I counted it. So 3 yards or less on 12 of his 17 carries. Those 12, so stay with me, of those 12, 9 were for 1, 0, or negative.
So he had 9 runs of 1 yard or less.
Yes.
I mean, that is...
more than half of his 18 carries.
That's staggering.
He had 45 carries on 3 burst runs where to get the Raiders...
45 yards.
Yeah, 45 yards. Yeah. What did I say? 45 carries?
Sure.
He had 45 yards on 3 burst runs. And give the Raiders credit for establishing that run. That was really important. I guess Pete Carroll can sleep great. But he had a run of 16, 18, and 11. Other than that, 14 carries for 18 yards.
Yeah.
I will take that every single time, please and thank you. But you're right. You could see it with him. He's the talent's there.
Twofold story here. 2 things are true. Commanders did an amazing job against the run, number one. The Raiders cannot do anything up front.
All true.
Like, their offensive line stinks on ice and... to have drafted Genty where they did, which I think ultimately will be a good decision, but to now have him working behind that offensive line is a real tough deal.
Yep.
Because you're getting next to nothing out of him. When he gets a little bit of space, you can see it becomes 18, it becomes 14. Those are the 3 runs you talked about, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the time, he's just getting buried in the backfield. And a 1-yard gain came because he broke a tackle.
Yeah, he made 6 guys miss.
2 guys miss. You know, it's crazy how little room he had. But this was much closer to the other home game than it was the Packers game.
Yeah.
In terms of Javon Kinlaw's import, Deron Payne was very noticeable, the defensive line being really, really good. And you know what's a bad combination is a line that doesn't protect very well and tackles who just don't hold up in pass pro and a quarterback who loves holding the ball. I mean, Geno Smith is a ball holder. Now, to his credit, there were probably 4 or 5 plays where I thought he got sacked. And then he would, like, come out of the pocket.
And he wiggled out of it and completed the ball, yeah.
And that's a Geno thing, but also, like, let's finish. Let's find a way. We're not, you know, high schoolers at our first after prom. Like, let's finish the job here, right? But Bobby Wagner, 2-sack game, could have had a 3rd sack. 11 tackles for him. Dorrance Armstrong had a sack in this game. Von Miller got his first solo sack as a Commander. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, essentially on, like, a hustle play, made a shoelace tackle for a loss of 1 or 2 as Geno was running upfield. But it was 5 sacks, way more pressures than that. Overall, I think if you're a Commanders fan, you've got to be really, really pumped about the plan and the execution from a pass rushing standpoint. One of the things I noticed watching the Raiders leading into the game was how bad they were with their running backs picking up oncoming defenders, like linebackers and stuff. And I had kind of made the comment, Joe Witt's got to find a way to scheme that up. Well, how many times did you see Wagner coming downhill on a delayed blitz or just mugging the A-gap and coming straight ahead and needing to be picked up? And I thought in some ways he kind of took the game over in that capacity.
A couple moments for sure.
he was their best defender by far in this game.
Two tackles for a loss, three quarterback hits to go with the two sacks, kind of to your point. And some of the times I couldn't tell if it was a designed delayed blitz or he was reading something going, okay, this running back is not leaving, right? He's not going out for a pass, so maybe that could have been my responsibility. I'll just go knock him into the dirt and on my way to the quarterback. Either way, it was working like gangbusters. I thought Luvu was more active than he's been.
He was definitely better.
You
still
noticed
not
him.
Like last year's Luvu where he made two or three huge impact plays, but it was by far the best, most noticeable game he's had.
Mm-hmm. And I thought Payne was good again as well up front.
So listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Good.
Yeah.
Wasn't perfect defensively. They have a problem with a concept that clearly the Raiders saw on tape against Green Bay and went back to. And it's like that 3-by-1 look where you get someone coming across the field on a crosser or drag, and they're in like man, some kind of a match thing where like their DBs are turning and running with receivers kind of against the grain. And then this like crosser from the one side of the 3-by-1 or sometimes the 3 side, like will come across the formation and linebackers pick them up. In this case, it was Bobby Wagner on Trey Tucker. He cuts it upfield for that wide open touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing the Packers crushed them on. They had another issue with that on that bootleg to start the game on the 45-yarder to Jacoby Myers.
Yep.
They're going to see a lot of that, so you better find a fix, and you better find it pretty quickly because they're getting gashed on that whatever that conceptual look is. The other concern, I guess, defensively would just be the injuries are piling up, man. And this is early in the year, and hopefully they're minor. And I'm sure all these guys are not going to miss the Falcons game. But at one point yesterday in the secondary, you had Antonio Hamilton, who most of us would not recognize if he was sitting in that chair right now, who just got called up from the practice squad, on the field with, like, Tyler Owens, with Jeremy Reeves.
Reeves got a bunch of snaps, yeah.
With Noah Igbinoghene. That was their secondary because Lattimore was on the bike, did not have a concussion but was being tested for one. Amos left the game. Percy Butler got hurt. Will Harris got hurt. Sounds like his is pretty serious. Rappaport saying he broke a bone in his leg. But I mean, almost the entire secondary, like, save for a couple of guys, was hurt at one point. People were like, man, the Raiders are really moving the ball. Yeah, no kidding Geno ended up with 290 and 3. Like, how many of those were in the fourth quarter against their practice squad? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was part of it. But I know the Falcons were horrendous yesterday. Michael Penix threw two terrible picks. They got shut out by the Panthers. They brought Kirk in the final 2 minutes of the game. But they still have weapons. And I would think a Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Ray McLeod, who can route you up, Bijan Robinson as a pass catcher, Kyle Pitts with speed on linebackers. Like, you gotta worry a little bit about all those weapons if they're missing a bunch of guys in the secondary.
Yeah, without question. Even if they were all healthy, I'd worry about that just because they haven't covered great yet.
I would have if I hadn't watched the Falcons play this year, and they're so terrible.
Fair enough.
So against the Washington starting defense, I would say you're going to be okay. But against whatever that was in the fourth quarter yesterday, I think pretty much any team's going to move the ball through the air.
I think that's fair. Yeah, and yeah, right now it's not what Washington does well, and there's multiple reasons for it. Injuries, I think, are a huge factor. But again, even if everybody was right, I don't know that that's their strength.
They did sign Darnell Savage today. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that. University of Maryland product, safety, played with the Packers. he's available on September 22nd, which is moderately telling. But if he could give you something, that's a huge bonus. And now we'll wait and see if he does. I mean, there's a chance Preston Smith and Darnell Savage will both be playing for them in a bunch of snaps on the road in Atlanta this weekend.
Yeah, that's certainly, again, as you'd write it up, but this is what happens. I mean, sometimes it's whatever the weekly. I heard Ross Tucker on one of the pregame shows talking about this, where I think he had the Dolphins game, for example, and he's like, the Dolphins were already kind of weak at secondary, so of course that's where all their injuries are. You know, just that's the kind of thing that happens, is when it rains, it pours. It's like, okay, what? Remember years ago with, like it was 2012, Hazlitt's going, what's your name over there? Can you slide up 2 feet because you're my safety? Guys are introducing themselves at certain points. You know, he's got guys that you're meeting on Monday, playing on Sunday.
There was a famous moment where he was trying to get Jerome Murphy's, just a random guy that I remember,
right?
But his attention, and he's like, and he couldn't think of his name. He's been there for like 72 hours, and he was number 45, and he just starts yelling 45, 45, and the guy looks over, and he's like telling him what to do. It's 100%. It's a thing. You know, you're shaking hands while you're out there. One other thing before we get to game balls and gassers. So last year, if you remember, we had Luke McCaffrey on the show a few times, and we told him, because his favorite thing to do for his birthday every year growing up was like chocolate lava cakes from Chili's, which is also my favorite chocolate lava cake in the world.
Okay.
They do a really good job with chocolate lava cakes. They like freeze the hard frozen ball of ice cream, vanilla ice cream a la mode, with the molten chocolate lava cakes that is very warm, and the chocolate melts, and as you cut into the very soft, moist lava cake, liquid chocolate, like a volcano, just kind of drips out beautifully, right? I've always said Chili's has as good a chocolate lava cake as you'll find. And then when Luke told us that was his favorite chocolate lava cake on the show as his cheat meal, we kind of became best friends.
Right.
But if you remember, the point last year early on when we learned this was when he scored his first touchdown, at some point we thought it'd be in week 5 or 7 or 9 or 11 or 13 or any point.
Any point, yeah.
We would all eat chocolate lava cakes. And he did yesterday. And so I'm just wondering if anybody on the show has a plan to eat any chocolate lava cakes or to go to Chili's or to get together, or should we talk to Luke about maybe meeting him up in Ashburn and getting chocolate lava cakes this week? Does anyone have any interest in a chocolate lava cake Luke McCaffrey touchdown celebration?
So good for you for remembering, because it had been so long ago since we made that agreement.
I mean, it was literally last September when we decided we would do it, and then it became pretty clear that there was no touchdown happening.
Mm-hmm.
But fast forward a year on 9-2-2-2-5.
Yeah.
It's time to eat some chocolate lava cake.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. at least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.